For the past month or two, it's been already a couple months since, I guess, after the new year, been going through the Gospel of Mark. We're no different this morning as well. We are in Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. If you want to follow along as I read this passage in your pew Bible, you're welcome to do that. That is on page 1065. Mark 2, 1 through 12. Let me read God's Word and then we'll pray. Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. And when he returned to Capernaum, that's Jesus, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Oh God, would you please add blessing to this, both the reading and the preaching of your word. Amen. How do you like to travel? Do you like to travel light? Or do you like to travel with everything that you need for your trip? I guess I'm more talking specifically, how do you pack when you go for a trip? Are you a minimalist? Like, you think, like, I got 2 or 3 days. I need, like, one pair of pants, right? I need 2 shirts. I need one pair of underwear. That doesn't translate. Come on now. Right? Or are you like, well, it could be warm. Or it could be cold. So I need both a sweater, right, and a short sleeve shirt. I need a pair of pants. And I need shorts, right? Do you approach packing like that, or are you like a minimalist? You just take the minimal thing. I like to think that I was a minimalist, that I just took the essentials, right? You just think about packing the essentials for a trip, right? I like to think that, like, I think I even pride myself that I'm a essentialist, like I just take the essentials. But inevitably, when I get to my destination, what happens, right? I look in that, at the end of the trip, I go, I didn't wear half of that, right? I didn't wear half of that. I'd like to think I am an essentialist, right? But I really don't think so. If I took a guess, like, I think I could know what some of you are. If you just take the essentials and some of you don't. I've heard some stories from husbands about some wives, I won't say. Maybe it's kind of like why I like, sorry for you folks that don't like big corporate culture, I like Amazon's essential line. They have this line of essentials, like no frills, like tank tops and no frills shorts, and just the essentials, like even like electric equipment. I like to think that I'm like buying essential things, but I just continue to have more things, right? You know, in our text this morning, what would you say the gospel writer Mark, what is the essential thing about Jesus that he wants his first century readers to know? He wants us to know. What's the essential thing that not just as you strip it all away, what might it be? I got a little surprise for you. That how many of you have red letter Bibles? Some of you have, like, you know what maybe are red letter Bibles? Okay, so the red letters are not inspired, by the way. That ink is not inspired. In other words, when Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark, and he's writing in Greek so that the Greek world can hear and read, he didn't color code. Okay, and so when we look at this passage, there's probably a portion of your passage that's in red that is attributed to Jesus, but probably he didn't say. And he actually, the Gospel, Mark actually tells us in verse 10 what is the essential thing he wants his readers and wants us to know and to wrestle with about Jesus. Did you catch it? Verse 10, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This is actually probably an editorial insertion by Mark. There's a couple of reasons we know that. If you look in your Bibles, there's some odd kind of marks. In fact, there's a long dash after when he says that "but that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," and that's even the authors are the translators are not really sure is this attributed to Jesus or to Mark. Well, as it would be, you even have this big issue. Big issue, Jamie. I got a job. I got kids. No, this is the issue about this text. Jesus never refers to himself as the Son of Man until much, much, much later in the Gospel of Mark. It's one of his favorite ways to talk about himself, but it doesn't happen for most of the first half of Mark. Now, what's going on? Well, Mark knows Jesus. He knows his preferential treatment. It's more than likely this is an interpolation. Ooh, big word, right? Mark interpolates a editorial comment into this story about the healing of the paralytic. Why? Because what's happened in this scenario, what's happened in this scene is so important. Mark wants us to get the essential element of what is going on here about Jesus. In fact, in verse 5, when the sin is pardoned and pronounced, it's revolved. This authority that Jesus has to forgive sins, it's there. The authority that Jesus has to forgive sins, we see it when the pardoning of sin is questioned, in fact, by the scribes. And then the pardoning of sin is validated by this man that's healed, right? And then finally, this pardoning of sin is recognized by the crowd. The essential element, the essential thing about Jesus that Mark wants us to see, and that I want to wrestle with for a few minutes this morning, is just this: that Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins. So what? So what? Let's talk about that for a minute. What is this? Why is it so important to Mark to actually insert this comment in here? What was it so important? Why was it so essential that we know it, that his first readers know it? Here's the first thing. It's so essential that we know that Jesus has authority on earth to forgive sins because, if you'd like to follow the insert in the order of worship, because without his authority to forgive sins, we will never hear those words ourselves. Your sins are forgiven. Without his authority, without recognizing his authority, that he has authority to forgive sins, just like the paralytic, we may never hear those words ourselves. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a lot of voices in our lives, is there not? There's a lot of people, a lot of even voices. Don't tell someone that you hear voices, right? Because that'll freak them out. But you know the internal dialogue you have with your own self, right? On what authority are you going to believe your own status in front of God, that your sins are forgiven? On what authority Would you believe the ruminations in your own heart? Well, here's the thing. We won't hear those words, your sins are forgiven, unless we recognize the authority that Jesus has. Paul would say, I quoted it this morning, Romans 8 and 7. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus has authority. Who will challenge the voices that you hear, your own heart ruminations, the voices of others? Who will challenge that to say that, are you really forgiven? Well, Jesus has the authority to challenge that. And the only way you'll hear that, those sweet words, is if you recognize that authority that he has. And here's the second reason that Jesus' authority is so essential, authority to forgive sins. Because without his authority, we won't have answers to our own questions about forgiveness. We won't have answers. We see this going on in this text where the scribes question in their heart, what? Does Jesus have the authority to forgive sins? They accuse him of what? Blaspheming, right? Only God can forgive sins, right? And, you know, we shouldn't fault the scribes for getting annoyed with this, right? I mean, after all, they believe this, that only God, man can't forgive sins, right? This is reserved to God alone. And so if a human takes something that's reserved to God alone, that's called blasphemy. You're taking glory and honor from the God himself, and you're giving that right and authority to a human. You're taking that up, Jesus. And so they question him. And it really gives us an opportunity to examine when we ourselves, in fact, question whether or not we're forgiven in our own hearts, right? The questions, and maybe, and you know, you've had this happen, the way someone interacts with you, or the way someone says something to you, the way maybe your own heart, in fact, questions your own forgiveness, questions someone else's forgiveness, right? If we don't wrestle with and accept that Jesus has authority, how will we ever answer the questions we have on our own forgiveness? Answer the questions for others, someone else. When you interact with someone who is questioning, in fact, their own forgiveness, right? How will we have the authority to stand up to those questions? Third, this essential authority that Jesus has to forgive sins, it also does this for us. It's so essential because without his authority, we won't anticipate the future salvation. Christianity is kind of unique in the sense that we have a great position in Christ. We positionally can experience forgiveness. But full forgiveness, in a sense, fullness of being in right with God in a world that's right is yet to come. And it's only when we understand that Jesus has authority to forgive sins now that we can actually anticipate there's more to come. If we think that our current experience as a Christian is all there is, we've missed the big picture. We've missed the whole story, the grand picture of Scripture, in fact. Up to this point in the story, the scribes have challenged Jesus. This man is lowered down into this home. And I want you to understand I think I would have been frustrated. Wouldn't you have been if you'd been these four guys that did all this work and took your friend, the paralytic, to Jesus, and you lowered him down and you risk, you know, you probably now got to pay to have the roof fixed, and you lower down and everyone's watching and you want your friend to be whole. And what does Jesus do? Oh, your friend's sins now are forgiven. Wouldn't you say this is kind of an unexpected response to this? You put a paralytic in front of this itinerant preacher who's been healing people, and he says, oh, your friend's sins, your sins are forgiven. It's not really what's expected, is it? It's not at all. It's a seemingly, wouldn't you say it's kind of a seemingly inappropriate thing to do that Jesus said? Imagine, last Sunday, we left here, And by the time I got back home, my brakes in my car were really mushy. You know what made my mushy? Like you push down and it goes like almost down to the floor, right? And I'm, just as we pull in, I'm like, man. Now, imagine this week had I taken my car in, got it towed, took it to my mechanic, and I said, okay, here's the deal. My brakes are broken. I need you to fix this, right? You know. And he lays his hands on my car and says, oh, your car sins are forgiven. And walks away. Kind of weird, wouldn't it? Well, wait a minute. You're a mechanic. Would you fix my car? Kind of weird. Wouldn't it be pretty, I'd be pretty disappointed, wouldn't I? Like, okay, you know, the car has failed me, right? But, you know, I need it fixed. This is kind of what happens with this paralytic, right? Or maybe the big day has come, and a family member has a funeral. No, they haven't passed away. They have a surgery scheduled, right? And you go in, and the prep, and the doctor comes in, and everything. And within a few minutes, he comes out into the waiting room, and he says, "We forgave her sins. You're free. You're ready. You can go." You're like, "What? What? You know, we came here for healing, right?" So, can you imagine the angst in these guys? Like, so Jesus says your sins are forgiven, but this man is still what? He's still a paralytic, and his sins are forgiven. So, what is going on here? Well, in the Hebrew mindset, forgiveness, sin and disease went hand in hand. Sin and disease went hand in hand. They were interchangeable ideas, if you will. Forgiveness and healing were kind of interchangeable ideas. In fact, healing in the Hebrew mindset was conditioned on God's forgiveness, in fact. There's that kind of mindset in the Hebrew. Listen to Psalm 41. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. David, in fact, talks about certain maladies that he had that were around his lack of the sin. So, in the Hebrew mindset, there was an inner exchange, an interchangeableness to these ideas. It really reflects this mindset that all sin, all brokenness, stems from what? From sin. All the way back to where? The garden, right? Where our first parents sinned, and that curse led to a brokenness of all things. Bodily, storms like we had this morning. All the hall of creation is under a curse because of sin. And when Jesus speaks these words, son, your sins are forgiven, he is, in a sense, he's doing something cosmically. He's going in and he's kind of rewiring creation. He's bringing a healing there. He's starting something that what? Isn't fully completed during his ministry, is it not? And that will only be completed when? When he returns. When the healing of the nations, when our bodies, in fact, will be fully healed and be remade into, you know, a resurrected bodies, in fact. And so as it is, if you're going to anticipate that one day that knee won't hurt, that body won't creak when it wakes up, that back won't hurt when after you walk, whatever it might be. If you are going to anticipate that, the only way to have the joy of that anticipation is to take it seriously that now he has what? Authority to forgive sins now. He will take that same authority that he has now to forgive sins and do what? He will put the world aright. And if you want to anticipate that, then you have to recognize his authority now to forgive sins. Here's the fourth and final thing. Jesus' authority to forgive sins is essential because without his authority, we won't worship him well. Without recognizing his authority, we won't glorify God as only a pardoned sinner can. You see how this episode ends? Jesus is going to validate his authority to forgive sins by doing what? Healing the paralytic, right? He heals the paralytic. Everyone is what? Amazed, right? Everyone is in fact amazed at this healing, at this, and likely they're very, very amazed that this man has forgiven this man's sins, right? And he's and this healing validates his authority to forgive sins. And what's the response of the crowd? What is it? Everyone's amazed and they all what? Glorify God. They glorify God. Jesus validates his authority to forgive sins, and a bunch of folks bust out in praise. Right? They bust out in praise. Listen to this from Psalm 32. This is the psalmist who echoes this very thing, that when we recognize that Jesus has authority to forgive sins, and we experience that, we can't help but praise Him. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no conceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as that by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Now, probably this was a psalm written by David. Imagine that, a man who had slain thousands in battle. This guy was not, a wimp by any stretch of the imagination, right? He was a strong man. He slew lions, even committed adultery, right? And yet when he saw the authority of the Lord to forgive his sins, he couldn't help but write a song of praise. Write a poetic song of praise. Unbelievable. He knew the authority of the Lord to forgive sins. What's my point? If we want to worship with life and worship vibrantly and have our lives be meaningful worship to Him, then we must also recognize the Lord's authority to forgive our sins. It's tied together. It goes hand in hand. You know, the Gospel of Mark, in this Gospel of Mark, Mark has been big to a certain theme, and that's the authority of Jesus. It's like come up a lot of times. Have you seen that? In the last couple months, Mark tells us that Jesus has the authority over all things in heaven and earth. He has authority over the spirit world, demons, angels. We saw that Jesus uses that authority to call disciples. He walks by a lake and says, "Follow me," to a fisherman, and he follows immediately. He has authority to call men and women to follow him. And now we get in this text what? One more thing. That Jesus has authority to forgive sins. His life of perfect obedience was enough to as a substitute to fill the gap for us. What God required was perfect righteousness, right? His life of perfect obedience is sufficient to cover what God needs from us. His perfect death was a perfect sacrifice. It satisfied God's justice and His wrath. And so now Jesus has all authority to forgive sins. If we don't recognize His authority to forgive sins, even this week, you may not hear those sweet, sweet words, right? Son, daughter, you are forgiven. If we don't recognize His authority to forgive sins this week, we may not have an answer to our objections, to the questions that we may have, to other people's questions that they may have. If we don't recognize His authority, we may think this is all there is and not upon His authority anticipate something greater, a wholeness, a healing, a new heavens and a new earth, a world put aright. And if we don't recognize His authority this week, we may not glorify God as we only can, being a pardoned sinner. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I think what we long for is the experience of the paralytic, that all that is wrong would be put aright in our life, in our world. And we know that you're working to do that in small measure now. But Lord, help us to see how the forgiveness of sins is an anticipation, really, of all that is to come. Help us not to pass this by, and help us to recognize and bow our knee at your authority to forgive sins, to forgive ours. And when in those moments we question or doubt or we hear other voices, that we would call upon our greater authority, not even our own authority or the authority of others, but we would claim your authority to forgive sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.